More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Back to school often means back to sports for many kids. Football, cross country, swimming, tennis, and volleyball, among others, all make their return in the fall season. And with the return of practices and games, returns the risk of injury. According to the latest numbers from the Centers for Disease Control, more than 300,000 kids 19 and younger are treated for sports-related concussions every year.
Luckily, Milwaukee is home to one of the leading research teams on concussions in youth sports. Dr. Kevin Walter is part of that team. He directs the Pediatric and Adolescent Sports Medicine Program at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Dr. Walter spoke with Lake Effect's Rachel Morello about common misconceptions around concussions and what parents can do to calm their nerves as kids take the field this fall.
So I think looking back to when I came out of training in 2004, the number of concussions definitely increased since then. Over the last few years, it's increasing at a slower rate. And I think a lot of that increase is just greater awareness. You know, it seems like you can't open a newspaper or turn on the TV without hearing so-and-so got a concussion, which is great, but it also makes people scared. You know, oh my gosh, is concussion going to turn me into these NFL players? And it won't. But I also think that some of the increase is kids are training differently. Middle school kids are doing things that used to be done at high school and collegiate level. So they're training better, they're bigger, stronger, faster, and there's wonderfully a lot more opportunity for kids to participate in youth sports. But when you participate in sports, there's risk of sport with injury, and so more exposure with sport equals more injuries as well.
Do you find, I don't want to throw shade at parents, but is there risk for overdiagnosis by a parent or a non-clinical person just because they're hearing about this becoming a thing or they're seeing it on the news, they're hearing about these NFL players, because I feel like that's where we hear the most about it. Mm-hmm. Do people jump to conclusions that their kid might have a concussion a lot more quickly now?
Yeah, I think so. Again, going back to 2004 when I came out of training, I used to have to scare people, you know, say, this is a concussion. You've got to take it seriously. If you don't, you can have months of symptoms. And I have now moved to the point where I don't even bring that stuff up because people come in scared enough. And I have to kind of talk them down the ledge of, no, your child's first concussion will not cause long-term problems. It will not drop their IQ or make them dumber. It will not lead to permanent mood or behavioral changes. I expect full recovery if you do the right thing. But a lot of times somebody hits their head and now there's a headache or grades have dropped and people just try and put two and two together. Could this be concussion related? And so they jump, maybe it is, and they bring them in. And we find, you know, a handful of patients every month in our clinic that just don't appear to be concussion but are symptoms from another problem, like a headache disorder. You've got new onset migraines, but you first noticed them after soccer practice. And you thought, well, maybe I hit my head, maybe I have a concussion.
So I've never had a concussion, knock on wood, but I don't know if I could even recognize the signs for one if I thought that might be what was wrong with me. What would be the signs? What would someone come in thinking they'd have a concussion? Why?
Yeah. So signs and symptoms. The most common one that a lot of people know about is headache. You can get dizziness. You can get nausea. You can see spots and have quick vision changes. Some people experience higher degrees of symptoms than others. And then when you interact with people, they'll complain about memory loss. They'll repeat answers. They'll get confused. They'll be slower. They'll be foggier. And those are kind of the bigger symptoms of the physical side of things, headaches, nausea, et cetera. The cognitive or thinking side of things, just the slowness and fogginess. And then you can get some sleep problems. Usually those manifest a little bit later. And then you can get some mood. The way I always say, if you had a headache all day, you'd be grouchy too. But with concussion, kids just get a little more mood swingy and more emotional. But right out of the gate is usually a pretty common story of there was a head impact, and immediately following this head impact, I got these physical / cognitive symptoms.
So we were talking about this before we turned the mics on, but who is coming into you with concussions most often? I know we said like just sort of living puts you at risk for this, mm-hmm. but if we're talking about kids who are student athletes, what sports are they playing? what's happening to them? Give me an idea of who's coming to see you.
So the cool thing with concussion is there's been a lot more research in epidemiology, who gets them and how many. I think the latest paper that came out said across the U.S. in pediatric and adolescent sport and recreation-related concussion, 1.1 to 1.9 million a year. So it's an astounding number.
Wow.
When you look at the sports, football is still the highest. Big collision sport, lots of players on the field. Soccer, wrestling, ice hockey, lacrosse, rugby, field hockey is in there too. I know that's a much more regional sport. Those make up that next tier. You could argue throwing basketball in there as well. Skiing, snowboarding, skateboarding, bike riding, recreation or sporty activities, but not like high school sanctioned sports. Mm-hmm. There's a fair number in those too. And then, you know, we see it even in sports that people never would imagine. Concussion, track, swimming, you know, any sport, you can get it if you have enough bad luck.
That's true. You were talking about the number that people get. And I had a friend who had had multiple concussions and was told, you know, you get one more, you're done. Is there like a magic number that you really shouldn't let yourself get to before you take yourself out of an activity like a sport?
All right. So is there a magic number? No, but I will tell you the thing that I most commonly hear is three. Oh my gosh, if you have three and you're done. And I think that trickles back to like the mid-90s. Three was a number where if you had three in a season, you would be done for that season. And that number three just stuck around. But I don't think there's hard evidence for why three. Why not two? Why not four? Nobody knows. You know, clearly one is too many because nobody wants one. But what I start to think about when I treat kids with multiple concussions is what's their risk of repeat injury? Because with every concussion, that increases. Making sure that they're fully recovered. So am I worried that if they got another concussion, do they have a greater likelihood potentially of not fully recovering or having substantial academic harm or substantial prolonged recovery, months and months and months? And those are the things that I try and bring up with parents. And I think that's the tricky part with treating concussion is there's no set guideline of this is too many, this is too long, this is when you need to retire. It's a whole lot of gray.
Has a parent ever come to you and said, should I even let my kid go out for the team? It's been midseason, he's had this. Should I tell him he has to stop before the season's over? I mean, is that a, should that be a medical call or should it be a parental safety call? I don't even know how to phrase that.
Really, I think that's a both. I mean, I think as a physician, a family should be able to come in and ask me anything. And, you know, my knowledge about concussion in general is going to be more than theirs. And so when families come in and they hear a lot of bad things about football and read the news about players that have committed suicide and players that are retiring because they're worried about brain damage, it's going to strike a nerve. And my kid wants to play football. Geez, is that really the best thing for them? So I get asked that all the time, whether it's football, soccer, basketball, should I allow my child to play? Or after an injury in the middle of the season, should I let my child go back into the sport? And my approach to sport is I would rather have kids healthy and active than sitting around eating chips playing video games. I am a firm believer in youth learning life's lessons through sports. I think it's teamwork, how to win, how to lose, how to follow the rules, how to work with authority, how to become a leader of others, et cetera, stuff like that. So I strongly encourage sport participation. And I think the key thing that families need to be comfortable with is the fact that there's risk. And, you know, with football, we talk concussion. There's risk for broken bones, torn ACLs in all of these sports. But that sport, I think they need to be comfortable with the team, meaning is the coach someone that they trust? You know, coach becomes a second parent, let's face it. And not to throw coaches under the bus, but there are definitely coaches that if you try and report an injury, they will say hide it. Even today, I hear that all the time, kind of ostracize them from the team, which is clearly not helpful or a good thing. So if as a parent you don't feel that the coach is acting appropriately or I don't know if in your child's best interest is the right way to say it, then you got to think twice about that. And then I think the other thing that makes sense for parents to do is to look into the what ifs. What if my child gets a concussion? What happens? Who evaluates them? What happens on the sideline? What is the process for removing them from play, getting through treatment, and then getting them back to play? Because all teams, whether it is 7 or 8 years old or 18 years old, should have that process in place. And so that's what I tell families is if you're comfortable with the coach, if they've got that process in place, you've done your due diligence as a parent, you've vetted that team, that organization, and if your kid wants to play, let them play.
If we just ran through some of your sort of advice for families, if you're talking to coaches and athletes themselves, you were mentioning earlier that training is a lot different nowadays. Is there a prevention tip that applies across sports, you know, for taking yourself out of play if you feel the risk is too high, or any tips you have for the people in the sport?
I think there's not necessarily prevention, but ways to reduce risk. Number one, if you have protective equipment, wear it properly. You know, we know football helmets don't prevent concussion, but if you wear them properly, they can reduce other injuries and maybe they help with concussion a little. Number two, don't lead with your head in contact sports. So if you can keep the head out of the game, then you can reduce that risk. And then I think the other one that you look at is play within the rules. I took care of a school in the past, a high school, and people will say, oh, you know, they're letting them play, they're letting them get rough, and just let them play the game and don't over-officiate. And I mean, it was bad, and I leaned over to a ref and said, hey, somebody's going to get hurt. You got to start calling this game a little tighter, please. And I was told if I talked to them again that they would penalize the team and throw me out. You know, some refs will be more responsive than that. But if you can officiate properly and teach proper technique, that gives you your best shot at reducing risk.
So better safe than sorry would be an appropriate mm-hmm. way to go with concussions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When in doubt, hold them out.
Dr. Kevin Walter is a clinical researcher at Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. He spoke with education reporter Rachel Morello.